Blog Talk Radio.
Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome to our special broadcast this week, this holiday, Thursday, July the 4th, 2019. We pray to thank God for another year, another summer, another 4th of July, in celebration of America's independence, birth, and all that stuff, and barbecue and fireworks. Amen. 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 So we took this opportunity to do a special live broadcast this morning, and to be able to reach out to some of the brothers out there, and took some time to call one of my brothers, Elder Mark from New Vision. He's going to join us in a few minutes. And we're going to talk about friendships. We're doing a series here for the month of July, mostly for the month of July. And we're going to talk about friends, the risks and rewards of friendships for us as men, men of God, and men in general, in building relationships and friendships. And the biggest thing that we want to bring to the table and discuss with Christian men, that even in the midst of us evangelizing, reaching the world for Christ, and bringing brothers coming together and bringing men into the church, into the faith, are we building friendships with them? Because, again, if we look back at the book of Acts, if we look at Scripture, if we look at how the church began in the evangelism, we're asking people to step out of their old lives and be renewed in their mind and renewed in their thinking, and to live as slaves of righteousness, to be obedient to the Word. And when we do that, we're going to lose those human contacts, those human friendships, because once we come into the light and knowledge of it, it gets very hard to hang with those who don't believe, that the darkness and the light cannot mix. The unbeliever and the believer will have less and less in common. So as Christians in the church, and being rooted and grounded in the Word and Holy Ghost filled, are we taking time to build those relationships with others? Again, I always like to go back to what Scripture teaches and how some believers were treated after. History tells how after conversion of Christ, faith in Christ, folk were kicked out of their jobs, kicked out of synagogues, kicked out of their communities. And yet, that's why the church had started to form and build and working together and taking care of each other. And again, I encourage anyone out there, if you read the book of Acts and see how the church was started to begin, Christ started to form his church, and how believers started to depend on one another and build those relationships. And then even in Paul's letters and in Peter's letters, he spoke about how we should love one another and treat one another. I believe there's about between 50 and 60 specific verses talking about how the saints of God should treat and care for one another. And that is to be able to build and support the church as we do and be salt and light. And we have to be able to build those friendships. But today, and during this program, and during these next couple of series of programs, we're going to talk about men specifically. Because we do as men, we talk about a lot of things. We have a lot of superficial things. We have a lot of people in our lives, and sometimes and we have to be able to be mindful and sensitive to the need that we need friends. We need people in our lives, people that are strong, people that can encourage us, people that can correct us, and we're going to touch upon that, some of that today. But that's just my intro. Let me get, I'm going to open up with prayer, and I'm going to bring the elder in, and we're going to go right into the conversation. Today, we're going to be talking about friends, risks, and rewards, and we're going to specifically be talking about the difference between a friend and an acquaintance. Amen? Father God, we say thank you today, God. I thank you for another day. Thank you for another opportunity, O God, to advance your kingdom, O God, to live a life that's glorifying to you, O God. Father, I pray for the lost. I pray for the unbeliever, O God. I pray for the church, O God. I pray for the church leaders, those who live behind the scenes, O God. Those who are called, O God, to reach and teach your people, O God. Those who are called to evangelism, to reach the lost and dying world, O God. Father, we just pray, God, for your will to be done, Lord God. I pray for the sick and the shut-in. I pray for the families of the sick and the shut-in, who even in the midst of their sicknesses that may be unto death or may not, but yet, God, I ask that you comfort those family members, Lord God, who have a sick family member that's in a hospital, a nursing home, or just at home, that feeling, Lord God. We pray their strength and their comfort. Father, we ask today also, God, that you would touch us, touch the children, God, touch the generation that come behind us, oh God. Some people say that, God, they go through more than what we've been through. But, Lord, we know that evil and the enemy is using the same tricks that he tried to fool us with and got some of us caught up in. He's using the same tricks, same techniques to get to kill this next generation coming up behind us. So, God, the enemy has no new tricks, no new tactics. But it's us, oh, God, that are not on guard, and we fall for them again, oh, God. Amen. So, we say today, Lord God, touch us, watch over our children and our youth, touch over husbands, fathers, and sons, and keep them safe. Keep them in a place, oh God, that we can always hear your voice. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. As we move forward tonight, I'm going to share, we have a couple of men's events coming up. Some people, brothers reached out to me. Again, this is Deacon Floyd. This is Israel's Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can always call in at 646-668-2636, or you can always go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to live broadcasts. Also, you can listen to some of the archive past shows we talked about, and you can catch the first part of this series that we're talking about here today as Friends, the Risks and Rewards. Amen. So first, we have coming up next Friday, July the 12th through the 14th, the Tabernacle of Worship Christian Center presents The Restored Man of God. They're going to be here on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Friday the 12th, Saturday the 13th, and Sunday the 14th. On Friday night at 8 p.m. at 2 Crane Highway in Glen Burnie, the guest speaker is going to be Apostle James Nelson. He'll be speaking at the conference there, The Restoring of Godly Men, and that starts at 8 p.m. On Saturday, I talked to the brother, Prophet David Nichols. They're going on a boating trip, I believe, a boating outing trip, a day of fellowship. So you need to give him a call directly and RSVP, sign up, let you know where we can meet, rendezvous. They're going out for a day of fellowship. I believe they're going on a boat ride, cruise. They had a hookup. They're going to spend the day together as brothers. You can contact him at 443-850-1505. This is next weekend, July the 12th, 13th, and 14th. And then on Sunday, the 14th at 10:30 a.m., the guest preacher will be Apostle Cecil Jarrett, and he was speaking at the church, at the fellowship, at Tabernacles of Worship Center, and they're located at 3901 Woodhaven Lane in Bowie, Maryland. Again, if you go on the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, you'll see the flyer there, get the contact information, inbox me, send me a message, I'll get it directly to you, or even if you call into the show, I'll give you the contact information again. Amen. Amen. If all the brothers have called in and you're online, and you called in at 646-668-2636, just press 1 on your keypad. We can bring in the conversation if you have any questions. Our second event is coming up in August. August the 9th, 10th, and 11th. And this is Men's Empowerment Weekend at the Church of Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland. Senior pastor is Bishop Jerome Stokes. and Elder Rondell Hall, the men's ministry president. And that's going to be August 9th, 10th, and 11th. We encourage you to come out. Again, the guest speakers, we have two guest speakers there. It's going to be Marlon Humphrey from the Baltimore Ravens is a guest speaker on Friday night, August the 9th. And then on Sunday morning, August the 11th, it's going to be Pastor Alexander Butler from Perfect Order Ministry and Church in Baltimore, Maryland. Again, that is Church of the Redeemer of the Lord, and they're located at 4321 Old York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. You can call the church at 410-433-0426. Any information, again, if you go to our Facebook page, the flyer is posted there, the contact information there, and again, if you reach out to us, we can always forward the information to you. We encourage you to come out for these two events, time of fellowship, time of coming together, hear a word of encouragement, and meet some of the brothers and just have a time when we get together as men and encourage one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, today, this morning, let me go right into the conversation. We can jump in. And what we're going to be talking about is the importance of having friends. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. God bless. Thank you for the opportunity to join.
Amen, amen, bro. You're going to become a regular, man. I'm going to send you a contract, and we're going to sign you up.
all right.
It's all these weeks. It's been auditioning. We're going to audition and see how you can handle it. But it seems like you can hang in there. But anyway, amen.
All right.
Amen, amen. But today we're going to talk about friendships. We're going to talk about the importance of friendships. I know in our last program we touched on a couple of things about friends and how important it is for us and who friends are. And really we tried to define it because, you know, just having people that we call a lot of people friends. But I'm not going to go back to that show. I'm going to move forward. But I want to talk about now the importance of us as building friends. And really, I'm going to touch a little bit about the difference between friends and acquaintances. I remember years ago, some of us remember this just listening. I remember before Facebook, it was MySpace. Back then, my children were teenagers. So we're talking about 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. MySpace disappeared. But the thing was, when we talked to the kids, we were talking about 15-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-olds who had like 2,000 friends. Because back then, everybody, they were setting up, I don't even remember how it worked, but, you know, we had teenagers who had 2,000 friends, the people they never met. And at the time, I said, I'm almost 40-something years old. I don't know 2,000 people. But they're online, and that's where this whole social media thing really got kicked off. I specifically remember that, and I wanted to say that because we call people our friends. We use that name, a friend, or that title. We use it loosely. So we want to bring it back in, especially for men of God, the importance of what's a friend, how do we define friendship, and why do we really need them? And first, let me say this. Let me ask you this. I'm going to start with you, bro. If you look back over your life from we'll go back to middle school to now, you know, when we talked about friends, you know, back in the day, there was those. How would you define a friend? Even before you were saved, or even now, how would you really define a friend that would help a brother out to determine? Because we're going to touch on some of that today. Well, what do you say, sir?
For me, a friend was always a person because, first, my father, just like you talked about the MySpace thing, when I was younger, of course, before MySpace and all that, I came home and was talking about how many friends I have. I have this many friends. And my father said, no, they're not all your friends. And I was, what do you mean? Yeah, they are. They're my friends. That's the ones that I can, you know, I go outside and play with. I see in school. And he said, I'll give you a challenge to see how long they actually last. If things happen, would they still be there? Or are they there just because it's the social place to be, it's the thing to say? And I didn't understand that. But as I grew older, I realized what friends really are. And I can count less than 10 people that I can really call friends. And I say that because, you know, family is always going to be there. But there are even family members that I'm closer to than others. But as far as friends, I learned that the friends are the ones you can truly depend on because – the ones that I can call at midnight and say, hey, my car broke down. I need you to come get me. Or I can call and say, hey, man, something ain't right at home. Me and my wife are getting into some issues. Me and my wife are having this, that, and the other. Or the one where I just don't feel right about life, and then I can call. But there's not many people that are out there that are like that. All those ones that I learned aren't truly my friends, I still know 90% of them, the ones that I know. I still, you know, see them through the social media, on Facebook. But if I was to see them today and see them face-to-face today, there's not a conversation I could have beyond, hey, how you been? But somebody who knows me, I could have the deepest conversation about the dark spots in my life, the good spots in my life. I can talk to them about what I'm going through and not think about, am I being judged? Are they signifying, or do they really care? Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. And I like that definition. Because I think what we all have to do as men, because what I don't want to do here is trying to tell every man how to define his friendship. So if you have to be able to define what a friend is, what a true friend is, you know, because we talk about acquaintances, we talk about people around us. And let me say this, because I want to bring it back, because I want to talk to the brothers that are in the church. You know, how many Christian brothers, men, do you have that are your friends, that's in your circle? We talk about it a lot around here. I know the elder and some of the other brothers that we were connected with. We talk about, we all have a circle that God has put in our lives, a circle of close brothers. Some of our circles are big and some of our circles are small. But we have to always remember that you should have someone in your life who you can really depend on. And I like what you said. You said about that, who you're going to call in the middle of the night when stuff is going wrong. You know, my pastor told me that a long time ago, one of my first pastors. He said, you define who's your brother and who's your friend is who you can call in the middle of the night and who's coming to get you with no more words being spoken except, hey, I need you. Well, come get me. And that's it. You ain't got to explain yourself. You ain't got to go through a whole, what you could, you don't have. Well, see, back in the day, we didn't have cell phones. So if you have one quarter left, or one 10-cent piece, or you made a phone call, and you could call and talk to that person, and you know they're on the way. That's what we have to be able to understand, that who is that person, and who's that, like you said, when you're going through, when you're struggling, who are you going to call, who are you going to reach out to, who's going to comfort you, and who's going to you know, take time and support you and encourage you, even in the midst of it, as we have to understand, too, even when we're wrong, who are we going to hear correction from? And then that won't affect our relationship with them. That's the other important thing we have to look at also and remember. Who is in our life that will correct us and we still, and that won't destroy our relationship, because you're not going to call them back because you know they're not going to, you know, they're not going to go for your foolishness like your mother used to say. Amen? So let's start there. Let's talk about being a friend and being a true friend and building those relationships. You know, I think it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy and time to build real relationships, to build friendships. And again, I want to keep this in the church because I want every man to be able to look at himself in the mirror, look at himself honestly, look at his life, look who's in his life. How many solid, mature, not even mature, how many solid men do you see as your spiritual equal, have your equivalent passion, are you connected with, and connected with in a regular time, and how much time, and then I'll think back, how much time and energy did it really take to build those relationships? Because I think that's the biggest thing as men. We don't take the time to get past the superficial and really get to know some brothers and spend some time with brothers and spend some time with men in true fellowship. What do you say, sir, about that, trying to start to build it for the brothers that are listening? Hello, are you still there? Did I lose you? Uh-oh, we're on live radio. I think I lost a brother. There's some technical difficulties here. But let me go on.
Can you hear me now?
There you go. I can hear
all
you
right,
now.
All right.
You can be back.
Yeah.
All right. What would you say,
some
sir, about building friendships?
As I was saying, amen, amen. You know, we look at our experiences, and sometimes our experience, you know, a friend, you start to consider somebody as a friend, and sometimes this may lead into a friendship, but it's not the thing that determines that this person is a friend, just that singular experience. Sometimes we meet a person in a bad situation, and they help us out, and then they're all of a sudden our friend, but we don't really have a relationship yet. And I think friendship has to be tested. And I don't mean you test the person like how good they're going to be to you, but you have to go through some experience, through multiple things to establish if somebody is really a friend. Because just like for Adam, I give it to you, for the guys, just like a sports game, sometimes that win can just be a fluke. Something could have just not been, could have just fallen in the right place for that win. But the qualifications for that win aren't really there. They don't really exist. And sometimes it's the same thing with people that we meet. We want to equate them as friends because we as people desire connection. And in desiring connection, we start to overlook some of the negative attributes and proclaim a person as our friend. Or we don't know all the attributes and proclaim a person as our friend before we really build a relationship and build a rapport. A prime example. One of my best friends, we met at the freshman orientation for college. We were in the same dorm room, we were in the same dorm apartment during the orientation week. When we rode the bus to the little bowling alley field trip, we both got off the bus. We stood outside talking to a few people, kind of waiting to go inside. And when we went inside, we got put on the same team. All of these things happened. But initially, we really thought we had nothing in common. So we didn't really, beyond that weekend, we just kind of exchanged numbers and talked. But then come to find out, we had more things going on, situations with our housing and all that, that our parents ended up getting together and getting us a place to stay off campus. All that to build to, right now, I'm the godfather of his five children. And this is in 96 that we met. But then someone else who I went to the school with, I don't even talk to anymore because we have nothing in common, because we just, our life situations took us in different paths and different places. As we go through to build a friend, you really have to, that friendship has to be tested. There has to be times where, and that's one of the people that I talk about that I can call. Like if something's happening right now, if my house was on fire and I had no place to go, if my car broke down, if I got a flat tire and I don't have a jack to jack up my truck, I know I could call my friend and he'll be there in a matter of minutes. He'll be there as fast as he can to wherever I am and get there and help me. And he won't get there asking me for gas money or won't get there asking me what can I do for, he won't think about what I can do for him. He's just doing it genuinely because of the friendship that we have. That's the brotherhood that we have. But then we have other people that we'll know, that we've known all our lives, and if the chips were down, if you call them, their expectancy is, what are you going to do for me before I can do anything for you? And I think that's the difference in friendship that we don't understand is, you know, just because we met a person, just because we had a few good laughs with the person, just because the first time we met we were able to have a decent conversation doesn't establish that that person is your friend. You have a relationship that can be built into a friendship, but all you have at first is just an interaction of acquaintances. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Now, you're right. I think what we have to do, too, we have to deal between acquaintances, because we're going to have people come into our lives, in and out of our lives, even our work lives, our everyday life, our lives in the supermarket, and even in church, even in within the body of Christ. There's people we're going to meet when we go to other fellowships, and hopefully we don't only go to our quote unquote home church, but we've had connections with other ministries and other Christians. We meet at work and we connect and we have fellowship. So, you know, and those people, they're acquaintances, but we also have an obligation to show ourselves friendly, because I believe scripture talks about that. But, you know, it's who we don't call our friend. And I think sometimes as men, we have to look around and see, you know, because sometimes we count acquaintances as friends. Because I use the example like you were saying. sometimes relationships are built every day. Because I can remember when I was younger, and you know, school, high school, even when you're in the military, there was guys and there was guys that you hung with every day. You saw them every day. Every day, they were doing something together. If you work together, you know, like military or going to school, you the relationship built because you were spending a lot of time together. And I think that's the other thing that the body of Christ as men were missing. How much time are we really spending with other guys, other men who are believers, just within your church? I'm not going to talk about, you know, we promote here going to fellow, go to other men's Bible studies, men's events to connect and network. But in our ministries, I think we all, every man, has to look at himself and figure this out. How much time are I really spending with the brothers who are in my local ministry to build these relationships? And that's where I think we're challenged at as men. We have to be able to start. You know, in the previous show I talked about, you know, okay, in the last, let me just say this for those who are listening. For the last 3 years, how many new relationships with men have you built that may develop into long-term friendships? Are you good with the brothers you knew for 15, 20 years? You're 40 years old. You knew guys since high school. You've been in the church since you was whatever. I don't know. You've been in the church ever since you were born in a pew, and you and the people you know been Christians forever. But in the last 3 years, how many new friends, how many new people have you reached out? How many new people you put into your circle? You know, have you developed friends? Are you just good with your 40-year-old friend that you know for 40 years, and that's it? You haven't connected with anybody in years to build those new relationships, to be open. And that's what we have to look at it, you know, because, again, are we reaching out? Are we putting new people in our lives that sometimes can keep us from being, get caught up into the rut, the mundane, and taking people for granted, you know? So what are we doing as men? And, I would like to challenge every man that's listening. Even if you called in at 646-668-2636, or you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Paul, the Blog Talk website. You know, look, just examine ourselves. Are we building friendships that's going to last? Are we building real relationships with other men that can encourage us, encourage them? Because, again, we can't take for granted that everybody has a stable, I don't know how to say this, but have friends that have companions, people to do stuff with. And, again, I always bring it back to evangelism. If we're calling people out of this culture and out of a life today, how they used to be, now are we making room for them in our lives so we can show them how to walk this walk as Christian men? And the only way we can do that is through spending the time, putting time in our lives, making room. Do we have room in our lives to build new friendships and relationships and encourage one another? And even the brother that we say that's our brother in Christ, how much time are we really spending together to solidify that relationship? That's where we really have to look at ourselves and examine ourselves and want to talk about. And again, for all those who have called in at 646-668-2636, I thank you for calling. I see you online on the switchboard here. If you want to share, have a comment or a question, just press 1-8 keypad. We can bring you into the conversation. But Elder Mark, let me go to this. You know, I think if we look at Scripture, if we look at what the Bible talks about, you know, Jesus, even out of the 12, he had three, Peter, John, and James. We look at Paul. He had Barnabas. He had Silas. These were his guys. This is his running buddies. They walked the neighborhood together, however you want to use it. But he had that. So as men, you know, can you – I'll use this. I can think of a couple. But what do you think as men? You know, I think we should have at least three good friends, three and five. And then now we have to be on purpose to start to build in our lives some men again. I'm going to share a little bit of some of the standards that we get after self to tell you got to have a qualification of what it means to have good friends. But what do you say, sir? I say about three or five real friends, and you have to be able to identify that. And my challenge is for, are you a good friend to three or four guys? What do you say, sir?
Amen. Well, I would definitely agree. Three to five, sometimes in your experience, and you know, especially in the church environment, you may have more because you're dealing with those that you can be accountable to. But 3 to 5, I mean, is about what I can really count in the men that are in my life. Maybe a few more, maybe 6 or 7 or at the most, that I can really say, oh, I can be accountable to you and they can be accountable to me. For me, the biggest part of a quality friend, like I said, you know, is someone that I can call on, but also somebody that I know can hold me accountable, somebody that can check me and I won't be offended. That's what a friend can do for you. They can say to you, bruh, that's really not right, man. You need to look at things a little different. You know, if I call and say, hey, man, well, you know, me and my wife we're disagreeing on this. Well, I don't feel I should be doing this, or she feels I should be doing this, anything like that. But that's a friend is the one that I can call and talk to them about it. First off, without feeling a certain kind of way if they don't agree with me. If the minute you're quote unquote, and I say quote unquote because I mean that's establishing that's really not a friend. If they say to you something that disagrees with your what you think is right, if they're trying to check you and say, hey, but you need to look at things a little different, you need to do something different. If that hurts you, or you no longer want to be around that person, you're annoyed and say, you know what, I don't want to talk to you anymore, or you stop listening to them, you're not willing to take advice from them. We're not willing to discuss and let them talk to you or talk to them about life. That's not really a friend, because you're so sheltered with them that you can't be open with them. I think friendship really is just the quality of friendship. Those 3 to 5 are the ones that you can be open with any aspect of your life. And for, you know, for men, even when we discuss things, sometimes it may even be about, you know, our physical state, our mental state, our emotional state. If my friends, if something was going down, I wouldn't feel a certain kind of way if I broke down and cried in front of them, because I know I can trust them with my life. I know that if something happens, I can depend that if I was someplace and my wife needed help, I could call and say, hey, such and such is on the way to pick you up. And I don't feel a certain kind of way about it being the middle of the night, being whatever. I know that that my best interest is always their thought. My best interest for the situation, for whatever's going on, is what they're there to help and provide for me. And I do the same for them. And those are the ones that I call more than my friends. Those are who I call my brothers, because not necessarily blood, but those are the ones who I know when chips are down, when everything is falling around me, when they're going through, when I'm going through, those are the ones that I can depend on. And just the same as I can call them, I'm one of the first ones that they call. And that's where you see the quality of your friendship, the ones who are truly independent, the ones who you can confide in, the ones who you can let all your guards down and be held accountable to life and to your belief, to those, you know, the men in the church, the ones that you'll get on the phone and pray with, and let all the walls down. You can pray about dealing with pornography. You can pray about sexual immorality, problems in your marriage. You can pray about your finances. You can talk about issues that you don't share with everybody, both them. There's no hold on what you can share and what you can't share, because you trust them with your life. That's the quality friends. That's the 3 to 5 that every man should have, because we need that. Sometimes we can't just talk to our wives. And for me, my wife is one of those, is counted in those numbers. But a lot of us, we have to have somebody other than the person we're next to all the time that we can talk to and share with, that our lives can be built and made better. They may not be in the same place in their walk in Christianity with you. They may be, you know, more experienced or more mature, for a better word. They may be have a lower level of maturity in Christ, but they are doing what they follow and hold the same belief system you have, and are dependable and accountable with you in life. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You're listening to Jesus Christian Man's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler, here with Elder Mark. For New Vision of Life Kingdom Builders. And we're talking about friends. We're talking about friends, risks, and rewards. And for everybody out there that's listening, I just want to encourage you, because it's a process to build it, especially in the body of Christ. Because if we come into Christ and for those that I always say this, those who know me know my testimony. You know, I was already in my mid-30s before I came to Christ. And one of his biggest struggles I did have was trying to connect with other men in the church. Because sometimes we see men that are already in the church when we come to the church. And for some of us, you are that person now. So when men come into the churches, come into your ministries, into your fellowships, they come to their threshold and they see other guys there that were there before them, they may have a perceived notion of who we are as Christ because we've been there. And then, you know, so they think that we've been there our whole lives. They don't know we just came a week before them or 6 months before them, or we don't even have our own Bible yet. But because they come to the door and see us sitting there, they may assume that we have it all together. So this is why we have to be as a body of Christ and as men. And this is part of it when we talk about men's ministry, we talk about men in the church. How are we connecting with brothers who in our body? You know, and it goes to, it covers a lot. It covers a wide and broad issue about men in the church, all the way from even men's ministry, from men coming together for prayer, for men's Bible studies, men's fellowships, you know, coming and being around each other, talking about the spiritual things. Because we can all talk, I said this in one of my previous shows. You know, when men, if you ever sit back in a group of men, I challenge you in this experiment. So a group of Christian men now, I'm not just talking about brothers, Christian men, the conversation will go to sports. The conversation will go to a lot of other things, which I know nothing about that. I have my favorite teams. I'm a New York guy. I got the Giants, the Knicks, the Yankees. We can talk about that. But when we talk about the things of God, I'm not talking about no Ravens and no Redskins. So for all your other brothers, y'all can leave now if you want to. No, just kidding. But those seem like topics, common ground, safe areas we could talk about sports. You know, I see it a lot. I see it a lot, especially when even Christian men, they might gather for a fellowship, and there's that uncomfortable silence, and then we start writing about sports. We get some kind of sports, some kind of something on the superficial. And then, you know, and again, as men of God, we have to look at, too, what are we doing in our men's ministry? So that's my passion, and my passion because I believe, you know, it's a time when godly men need to come together and talk about life and talk about the things that we need to encourage one another to overcome. Our marriages, our parenting, our kids, we have a lot of things in common, but we are different. And in the Word of God, for those who are in the Word, who can share the word, encourage through the word, or who also now we have that men have experienced some things that they can share with another brother who's going through the exact same thing. The thing you went through with your wife last month is where a brother could be right now. Or the thing you went through years ago in your family, where a brother could be right now. You know, because raising kids, raising teenagers, it's all the same challenge. Amen? And then so we need to encourage one another. Because even in the body of Christ, if we're all honest, in transparency, we know marriages that are struggling right now in the church, but they make it every Sunday, they make it every Bible study, whatever, but their marriages are struggling. We have men and fathers who are struggling with their kids, either relationship-wise or their child is struggling with something in their personal life that's coming back on him, and he's bearing that burden, you know? So this is why it's important that we start to build relationships also, because if it's not friends, it's not all happy-go-lucky stuff. I know, Elder, you talked about it a couple of times, that accountability. And that's the other thing why we need to have companions to help us in this Christian walk. And we have to be careful, too, because I think the other thing we have to look at is everybody wants to be the pastor's friend, or the pastor is going to be their confidant, or their pastor is going to be their whatever. All the things we're talking about, they want to put it on one man. Understand that the pastors, the under-shepherds, the teachers, they're human beings just like us. And that's not the way the body is set up to be. It's the one in others, the one in others. I challenge every brother out there listening, listen to this broadcast live or listen to the archive rebroadcast. The one in others in the Bible is talking about who's in your life, what kind of people are in your life. It's talking about the body of Christ. It's for men to be able to reach other men, to encourage one another, to build the team. And I think that's where we sometimes miss it. This is why men come and go through the churches and don't stay, come, whatever. You know, we always talk about that here. It's just Christian men talk about, you know, a lot of brothers come to churches for a whole lot of reasons, and some of them is not because of Christ. But Christ just happens to get them and uses us to hook them. But are we doing that? And are we being honest and transparent when we're trying to reach men and speaking to them honestly? Elder, I'm going to come back to you because I think I've talked, you know, I said a lot there, but I think that's the real discussion point I want to get here. That if, do you have a friend, if you needed someone to talk to, if you were in real trouble, and if you were really hurting? And I want to talk to you, I want to ask you about that, Elder. When you're really hurting and struggling, you know, how important is it to have another male? Because I want to keep this on the point as we're talking here. It's about men building bonds with other men, you know, and they have been those brothers. We call each other brother in Christ a lot, but are we really brothers in Christ? Are we really connected spiritually to where when we're hurting? Because man, when a man is hurting and a man is acting up his emotions, it can be a lot of things. You know, he gets in that place where he wants to go in seclusion and try to figure it all out and won't open up and won't share. And then we don't see nothing, and then we hear about it after the bad decisions are made. So what do you say, sir, about that, about the importance of having other males in your life when you're really hurting and going through?
You know, I believe truly it's vitally important. One of the things that I, you know, always discuss when we're talking to married couples is that, you know, men and women are definitely wired different. Our understanding of life, our approach to life is sometimes so different. And, you know, as men, we're so reluctant to build relationships with other men because you don't want them to see your level of vulnerability. But I'm going to just say this in a challenge before I go further, and just challenging and looking at those you call friends. Could you call them, and when you call them or when you see them, does your conversation require an icebreaker, or can you just go in? Can you go right into the issues, the problems, the situation, or does your conversation require an icebreaker? That lets you know when you're dealing with a friend, because there's already an established open level of discussion. There's already that accountability. There's already that place that they know where you are. They know what you've been going through. And they even, you know, some of the men that you're close to, the ones, the true friends, will know your vices and know what you're dealing with. When you say, hey, bro, look, I'm going through, they already are on point and know, hey, this is what we need to do. This is where we talk. But it doesn't require you to, when I say icebreaker, we all start and we will see people just like Elder, just like Deacon Farr said, you know, we'll, if you were to sit in a room with the man, with that man, does it take a sports conversation or a conversation about, you know, what you saw on TV or a movie before you can get into the real issues, before you can start to open up and talk about God, before you can talk about your relationship, before you can talk about, can you call that person and just open up? But to go back, and I'm sorry for going off tangent, to go back, the necessity for having a friend, another man in God, a godly man in your circle, is vitally important, because that man has probably dealt with the same issues. He's dealt with lustful thoughts. He's dealt with children not feeling like the provider he needs to be. He's dealt with so many of the things that you have dealt with, that your wife, who is still supposed to be one of those top five, the people around you that are top five, that man has gone through some of those issues and can help you to walk through that stuff. I think about the men in my church, and each and every man in my church, I have their personal phone number. They have my phone number. And we are accountable to the point where you can call me at midnight and say, yeah, bro, I need to pray. You can call me in the middle of the day and just say, what's up? You can call me in any way for any reason, and it doesn't take an explanation of I need you. It's just, I need you. This is what's going on. Help me out. Those are the ones you need, and that's what's vitally important as we grow, because as men, we won't grow. If you are only hanging around the people that are still doing the same things of the world that you're trying to grow away from and move from, you'll never leave those things because you'll always be connected to them. Sometimes the people that have been in your life for years that don't move, that aren't willing to do more, that don't desire more, you will hold that same lock of desire and complacency if you don't meet someone and connect with people who are in the right or in the same mindset for growth, the same mindset to change life. That's what it means to have a friend, somebody you can grow with, that you can be accountable to, that you can talk to, that you can share with. Sometimes it might be the person that you don't even talk to, but you can sit in the same room with them and just break down. It doesn't even require a conversation, but they'll just be there because they know you just need somebody to somebody to share space for that moment in time, just to be somebody that you know there's a like-minded spirit in the room that you can confide in, that you can let the walls down, that you can actually break down and be vulnerable, close to and near, without any hesitation, without worrying about them taking it and turning it around and telling somebody else, hey, I saw Brother Mark crying, man. He was doing this and this, that, and other. He was sobbing about his wife, or you know, whatever the case may be. But that's what friends are about. That's what we need. And it has to be that man. You need that man in your life that will be the friend, that will be the accountability partner. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, and I think a lot of it is each of us, two things we have to do. We have to challenge ourselves. We have to challenge and step back and see, do we have good friends in our life, men that we can trust? And now all, and again, I want to bring it also, because we have to always keep it at home and keep it internal. Are we being a good friend to the brothers and other men around us? Are we being that friend? Are we the guy who can call, or they can call? We have somebody we can call. But now, what kind of friend are we going to be? And again, I mean, it takes time. It takes energy. It's not something. And it takes, and let me see, I'm going to throw this in, because what it does, because it's funny you said about the icebreaker. You know, that icebreaker thing, that's a whole conversation network strategy on how to get people comfortable. So how comfortable are we around the men we call friends? How comfortable? That's what I was looking at. When you said that, that's what I thought about. When we get together as men, we go to sports or we go to something, and that's an icebreaker for our gathering. So we start talking about this, that, and the other thing, especially if it's playoff time, championship time, Super Bowl playoff time, you know, all that. You know, that's the icebreaker. And I, like you said, can we go straight into a conversation with a brother? Who are the brothers we can go into straight conversation about if something's on our heart? You know, because we may not walk around every time with something deep and heavy. But if we have something on our heart, who's the person can we be with and connect with? And I think that's important. And again, we have to start to think these things. Just have to pray about it. Pray about who's in our circle. And pray about, again, I want to send everybody starting this week, or this tomorrow, the 5th. It's first Sunday. I challenge you, when you go to church tomorrow in your fellowship service, look around. I know Elder said it about the men in the church. He has their number. I have a phone full of numbers for men. Do you have that? Do you have the brother, every brother in the ministry? Do you have their phone number? And, that, and let me say this. I want to, because, you know, I'm hardcore. The deacons, the elders, assistant pastor, associate pastor, the minister of this, the minister of that, I don't count none of them. Take all of them. They don't count. They're in ministry. They're servant leaders, that's fine. But what about the lay person, what I call the rank and file brother, the brother sitting in the back of the church, the brother who might got talked into coming because it's the holiday weekend, he's coming to the service, you might have never seen him before, are you going to reach out? You may not be able to get his number, but you can give him your number. You know, give him your number, introduce yourself. You know, and come with a strategy of showing yourself friendly to the brothers in the ministry, and start, because again, we can't take for granted everybody leaves the building after 2 or 3 hours, and they got it all together. There's a lot of people who go home alone. They don't have quote unquote family, or even if they're trying to live right, none of their family members are Christian. So if they're going to cook out this weekend or whatever, it's going to be wide open, and it's going to drag them back. It's not going to encourage them, it's not going to strengthen them in their walk or help them to grow, to understand, get rooted and grounded in the things of God. So there's so many reasons why we need to have friends and show ourselves friendly, truly, and build these relationships and spend time with other men. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. And we just want to give a shout out to Apostle Edel Banks and to my pastor, Pastor George Sharp, at Jesus Lives Ministry in Hanover, Maryland. And again, man, we Issues Christian Men's Talk. These are the things we talk about. We encourage you. We continue to want to encourage everybody out there that's listening that called in and took time out. Again, and if you called in at 646-668-2636, if you have anything you want to say, insight, share, wisdom, or question, just press one on your keypad. For those of you online at www.blogtalkradio.com, post that Deacon Thomas Farr. We thank you for joining us also. And Elder, I'm coming to you. You got the closing statement, and you can close out in prayer. But I wanted to share two things. We have been talking about this subject here, and we're coming from one of the devotionals that we've given away at all our Man Up events, and I share as many as I can. I have a whole box full of them, and I use them as outreach tools. I use them as a devotional to encourage men. It's Patrick Marley, The Man in the Mirror, Solutions for 24 Problems Men Face, and we were some of our discussion points were coming out of chapter number 10, where it talks about friends, risk, and reward. So there's two questions I'm going to leave you with before I come to go to Elder for our closing statements. But these are important questions for everybody to think about. Do you have a friend who you believe you can trust with confidential thoughts and able to stay confidential? Number two, when you are vulnerable and transparent with your friend, are you conceived that he will not think less of you? In other words, you have the brothers, you know, I can tell you, you know, I've been watching porn, I did whatever, and they will see you as less than, but will encourage you even in the midst, you know? So these are the two things I'm going to leave with you to consider. When we're talking about friends, talking about the men in our lives who are going to encourage us and strengthen us in this walk. Elder, again, brother, thank you for taking time out this morning, joining us, and I'll let you have closing statement, and then close out in prayer. God bless you, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It's always a blessing to join with you and to build and to just really talk about the issues that men are facing. To those online, to those listening in, to those that will hear this again from the archive, I just encourage you, you know, find out your true friends. Find those men. And in finding those men, make sure that you're being a true friend. Make sure that you are the one that just as you would depend upon them, they can depend upon you. Because a friend of only face value is just the person that's there when it's convenient. You want brothers around you who are there for you when it's inconvenient, when it doesn't match up to what they expected for the day. You want people around you, and you want to be the person that when all things are going wrong, they'll still stand beside you. They'll be help you to be accountable for what you've done, what you're going through, what you need to see, what you need to change. And neither you or them are offended when one gives advice that doesn't match to what you think, it doesn't match up to everything you're thinking. Sometimes we're so far out of touch with, the best word I can say is reality, because as men, sometimes we just don't think straight. We're looking from so many emotions, hormones, and every different thing that's got us thinking crazy. So many things where we don't want to seem vulnerable. So many issues where we don't want to let our guard down. We don't want to seem weak. We don't want to seem like we're less experienced or don't have an understanding of everything. But the people around you that you call friends are the ones that will help build you and your life helps to build them. Those are the ones you want to connect with. Those are the relationships you foster and build. Not that you leave the rest of the people away, that you're going to never be around them, but understand the difference between your friends and your acquaintances, and know that your friends are the ones that have a relationship with you that you can truly call brothers, blood or not, that you can truly call brothers, because they'll be there to hold you up when you're just when you're beyond the point of falling. They'll be the ones that will stand beside you to help you stand back up. That'll give good information, that'll be accountable, that will be a blessing in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your situations. They're the ones that will sit up with you at midnight and pray. That's the ones you call upon. That's who you should be as a brother, as a friend. That's what we're called to be. That's what Christ did. That's the walk of a man, to truly be a role model, a friend, a leader, a confidant, a shoulder that you can cry on, one that you can depend on, and one that when you see each and every day, it gives you a better feeling because you know you're standing beside someone you can trust. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord. We thank you that as we stand, Lord God, to learn more of you, Lord God, we're learning more of ourselves. Lord God, we thank you that for this discussion and topic today about friendship, that we'll know who our friends are, what we are to be as friends, as friends and brothers, Lord God. Continue to build us up, Lord God, as we stand to encourage one another, uplift, Lord God. For your word says that iron sharpens iron, Lord God. So as we stand as true friends, Lord God, as we establish the true relationships in our lives, Lord God, we know, Father God, that we can be accountable and they can be accountable to us, Lord God, and that as we do so, we will all be built up as the men you have called us to be. We thank you for relationships, Lord God. We thank you for friendships, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the people close to us, Lord God, that we can truly depend upon, as we always will depend upon you, as we will always lean upon you, Lord God. We thank you for those in this earthly walk, Lord God, that can still help us to build in our spirit, that will help us to grow each and every day because of the experiences that we share together, that we'll grow from together, that we'll learn from together, that will help us all to be the men that you have called us to be. We thank you for this time, this fellowship. We honor you and bless you and pray to the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless.
God bless you.